You know, there's two national holidays that I think are particularly significant to Christians. One of them is pretty obvious, Thanksgiving. That is so compatible with the teachings of the New Testament about what we are to be, what we are to think, about all the blessings that God has given us. The other one that may not be quite that obvious is this one. Mother's Day is, of course, a commercial holiday. Lots of flower companies make lots of money. We had a bouquet appear on our doorstep from one of Cindy's kids that we hardly ever hear from, but at least there's a flower. But I think what people do not appreciate is how unique this is to the principles of Christianity. Jesus Christ had a special relationship with women. It wasn't a sexual relationship. Our world has a hard time comprehending that. They keep trying to get Jesus married off to Mary Magdalene. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus treated women with dignity, with respect, ultimately provided the rights that we, I guess, take for granted perhaps in our society today. There's a wonderful book, I have it referenced in your bulletin in the sermon outline, Under the Influence by Alvin Schmidt. He has researched those things that have happened as a result of Christianity, and a good part of the book is things that have happened to women. We're not primarily talking about the right to vote, although that certainly is there. We're more talking about the value of women. The contrast to that is what we see in every other major religious system that is out there, even Judaism. I mean, under the Jewish system, when a man walked down the street, his wife had to walk behind him, and there was a prescribed distance. It's also important to realize that women were violated when there was sin. You remember the woman taken in adultery? They brought her to Jesus and said, okay, Moses said to stone her, what do you say? And of course, Jesus short-circuited them by saying, okay, let those of you that are sinless cast the first stone. But I think what's interesting here is, why was it the woman that was brought to Jesus? Where's the man? And the answer to that is, well, this is what the view of women was in the Jewish system. Look what's happening in today's world with ISIS. Look what has taken place when American women go and marry a Muslim man. There's books, there's films, all kinds of testimonies. And I know it's not universal, but it's nonetheless consistent with the principles of Islam. The very notion of polygamy violates the uniqueness of women, violates God's concept of marriage. Jesus had a special relationship with women. As a matter of fact, I thought about doing a whole sermon on Jesus' relationship with his mother, his physical mother. Because there were so many things that happened in the dialogue between Jesus and Mary that show his love, his value, how much he considered to be a part of what he was doing. I especially like the wedding feast at Cana when she sets him up and he protests. And she doesn't argue with him. She just says, do what he says. The relationship is intimate. It's personal. The very last thing that Jesus did physically on this earth was to make sure his mother was cared for right before he died. As we go through the New Testament, we see women setting an example. Lessons we all can learn from women. I don't think that any other religious system does that. In Mark, the fifth chapter, there's a woman who made her faith work. Does your faith work? Mark 5, beginning with verse 25. Interesting story. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And when she did that, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that healing power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and says, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples say, "You see the people around you, and you're going to say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. And look at this statement from Jesus. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You see, here was a woman who was able to get past religious prejudice. Here was a woman who was able to get past legalism. Now, this woman was religiously unclean. If you go back and read Leviticus 15, if there was blood coming from a person, they were unclean. She had tried everything she could to take care of her personal needs. She had been to the doctors. She'd spent all of her money. She was past the hole in Medicare. Okay? I mean, whatever it was at that time, she had done it. And she knew she needed divine help. Where do you go when you need help? Do we follow her example? She had faith in God. And it may not just be physical ailments. Those things doctors do pretty well with. How about emotional ailments? How about spiritual ailments? How about loneliness? How about isolation? What's interesting here is that Jesus uses a word for this lady that he never uses anywhere else in the Bible on any other woman. He says to her, "Daughter." Daughter. A special relationship with a woman whose faith worked. You know, there's so many women here whose faith has worked. You know, when I look at the things that go along with Audrey, there's faith working, man. You know, she has been a part of so much. As I watched my wife die, I saw faith work. As I have seen what Cindy has done in my life, I have seen faith work. We need to realize that example of a woman with faith pursuing a faith solution to a difficult problem in life is something God wants all of us to do. What a wonderful example. There's another illustration, and this is in Matthew, the 15th chapter. And this was a mother who was persistent. And this is the only time that Jesus ever went outside Palestine. So it's interesting to realize that this is not a Jewish woman. This is a Samaritan woman, or at least she's a Gentile. And in Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21, we read, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him and said, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Here's a woman with a sick kid. We don't know exactly what the illness was about. Demon possession can mean a whole lot of different things. But here she is, a Samaritan woman, going to a Jewish man and wanting a solution. You know, Jesus frequently went past all of the mores of the culture. Mores are traditions, beliefs, things that may not be biblical, things that may not be considered aesthetically pure. We're reminded in John 4 of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. That was another case where a woman went past all of the things that were taboo in that culture, and Jesus spoke with her, talked with her, reasoned with her. This is Jesus, the Son of God, showing our relationship the importance of every person. Now, the disciples don't get this. If you keep reading, the next verse says, Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and said, send her away, for she keeps crying out. Disciples say, hey, this woman's bugging us. Get rid of her. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus came with the gospel first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. This is early in his ministry. But the woman came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. That was the level of belief of the Jewish system. But look at her response. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and the daughter was healed from that very hour. Women are constant, consistent, persistent survivors. And I want to challenge the women here today. Don't give up. This woman didn't. We shouldn't either. You say, well, I've got a child that's not a Christian. Worrying me to death. Having a child that's in a bad relationship. You know, I've seen that. Cindy has struggled with this. But the message of this persistent mother is we never should give up on anyone. Don't ever give up hope. Don't ever give up pursuing those spiritual things that are the ultimate solution to many of the problems that we have. And we have this wonderful Canaanite woman who shows a persistent mother. So many times I've seen situations. I want to share this one with you. When I was in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, this goes back way, way back, there was a woman who brought her son to me. She was a Christian, and he was in total and complete rebellion. He denied the existence of God, and he was living a very bad life, and there was lots of conflict. So he offered to send me a list of all the things that he knew were things that discredited God. And I wrote him back, and I got a letter from him. Thank you for answering my son's letter. I wrote her back and said, tell him to send another one. He sent another one. She wrote me back, said, thanks for answering this second question. I haven't seen a change in him, but keep trying. That went on for 14 years. 14 years. I had a box of letters from that woman. It must have been 100 letters in there. And she was continually telling her son, she'd given up arguing with him, Jonathan, I love you. I wish you would change your life. Well, 14 years later, I was in Weyburn, South Ketchwin, and here she comes. She said, I want you to meet my son. You've been writing to him for 14 years. He said, he's now a Christian. He's preaching for the church up in Regina. 14 years. And I said something to her, well, I'm glad I had a small part in it. And he looked at me and said, well, you had a very small part. He said, it was my mother never giving up that moved me to ultimately become a Christian. The persistent mother. What a lesson from Matthew 15. One more I'd like for you to look at is a mother who knew how to seek forgiveness. A woman who was a sinful woman. We suspect she was involved in very bad things morally. But in Luke, the 7th chapter, starting with verse 36, we see Jesus coming to a Pharisee's house. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. The Bible says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. Let's just stop there for a minute. Here's a woman who knew where to go to get spiritual help. She had heard about Jesus. She knew the Pharisee's house was where God was supposed to be present. And she was prepared to reach out and to honor God. She brought an alabaster box, verse 37 says, a box of ointment. This was in keeping with God's commands of how to seek forgiveness. She washed his feet, something the religious leader didn't do. She stood behind him, showing respect, while the leader challenged Jesus. She wept, showing repentance. The leader was arrogant. She kissed his feet, showing humility. The leader was put out that Jesus would allow this. And she anointed with oil, showing honor. That was what the culture was about. It's interesting how this develops as we continue reading with verse 39. Then the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is. She is a sinner. As if he wasn't, eh? Arrogant? Obnoxious? Unsympathetic? Typical of a lot of us today. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher. Jesus says, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debt of both of them. Now, which one will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. And Jesus says, right on. Then he turned towards the woman, listen to this, and said to Simon, you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. That was the way of greeting, okay? Like, you didn't shake my hand would be a 21st century version of that. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. See, the typical male response to this situation is arrogance, defiance, a lack of repentance. This is Mother's Day. Our mothers have taught us something different than that. Most of us have been involved with women who show a completely different response to need. Many sitting here today. Jesus goes on, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus turns to her and says, "Your sins are forgiven." That's a problem with men today. We live in a culture of men who are cowards. They're afraid to act on faith. There's a good book that's been written. It's called, "I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist." And what it deals with is not only the evidence for the existence of God, but also what not being an atheist brings us to need to be. Brings us closer to this woman who knew what she needed to do to be forgiven and set an example for us. Many of us won't go for help when it's available. Many of us are too selfish to change. See, honoring somebody means unselfishness. Many are afraid of Christianity. They are afraid to get involved. It demands too much. I've had that said to me so many times. I thank God for women. I thank God for mothers who by their example show us the complete opposite of what we see in most men today, in this culture obsessed with things, with materialism, with selfish gratification. Women of faith. A woman made her faith work. Does yours work? A woman was persistent, seeking solutions in compatible nature with God's word and his will. And women who have shown us how to seek forgiveness. Today, God's word tells us to be forgiven, we need to seek forgiveness. If you're not a Christian, you're not seeking forgiveness. That's something God wants you to do. He isn't going to force forgiveness on you. And it shouldn't be necessary for you to sink to the depths of sin and degradation to realize how much you need to be forgiven by God and then to live a new life. I would love to know in these three cases what these three gals ended up doing, because I suspect the story just began in these three cases. And I hope for you today, this is just the beginning of your life, spiritually. You say, "Well, I'm old." Yeah, I know, I am too. But that doesn't mean we can't make a fresh start. That doesn't mean we can't do more. That doesn't mean we can't be more productive in God's service. It's spring. A lot of new stuff out there. How about your life? You need some newness? Let us pray with you. If you've never become a Christian, don't continue to refuse to be forgiven. We invite you to respond to God's message. Let's stand together and sing a song. And if you have a need, would you please bring it to us? Let's sing.